this evening is the first part of 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growth in grace. This is an issue in which every Christian ought to be vitally interested. Growth in grace. You ought to be vitally interested because this issue affects the quality of your spiritual life in Jesus Christ. And so the obvious question, right at the very start, is, are you growing in grace? Do you care? Do you? That you are growing in grace or not? Do you even think about it? Some of you might say, well, you know, I used to think about it. I used to make great efforts to press on in the Christian life, but recently, and truth be told, I haven't been as zealous at all. In fact, I've grown of late something like careless. I've been letting things slip. And then we ought to think soberly, and we ought to ask this question. How long has this been going on? A few days? A few weeks? A few months? A few years? How long? And the answer is that whatever length of time is far too long, and it must stop, and it must stop now, this morning. Repent and start growing in grace and obey the word of this text. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The child of God, though, may have some questions. What exactly is it to grow in grace? How do I grow in grace? How do I even know if I'm growing in grace or not? And could you please help me? The child of God ought to say this too. Could you please help me and give me reasons why I must stir myself up to grow in grace? Because I know that I'm prone to be lazy. Prone to be lazy even in the ordinary affairs of this life. Especially prone to be lazy in spiritual issues, particularly when it's a hard battle against our own sinful flesh. Grow in grace. First, the meaning. Second, the means. And third, the motivation. Grow in grace. The meaning, the means, and the motivation. There are many things in which someone can be said to grow. You can grow in wealth. You can grow in confidence. You can grow in popularity. You can grow in the ability to do various things. Whatever may be said about these things and growing in these things, none of them are as important as growth in grace. None of them are as blessed as growth in grace. None of them are required by a specific divine command, unlike our subject this morning. Grow in grace, that's a command from God, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we are here commanded to grow in two things. First, grace, and second, the knowledge of Christ. Now, what does it mean to grow in grace? Grace may be spoken of in at least three different senses. First of all, grace is an attribute of God in Himself. It is the beauty and attractiveness as Jehovah, as the ethically perfect God. That is grace. Grace is also an attitude of God towards His elect people, whereby He delights in us as those who are beautiful in Christ. Thirdly, grace may be spoken of as a power of God in us, by the Spirit of Christ, transforming us more and more into the image of God's Son. And of these three different senses of the word grace, obviously it's the last one. We're called to grow in grace in this sense, as an internal power of grace in our hearts and lives. We're to grow in what may be called the virtues of grace. Last week we looked at what may be called the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. These three. Grow in those. were to grow also in such graces as kindness, meekness, humility, forgiveness, holiness, righteousness, and peace. Grow in grace. And what about justification? Can we grow in justification? Well, what is justification? Justification is the imputation to us of the righteousness of Christ. Being perfect and complete, the righteousness of Christ does not admit of increase or growth. So we can't become more justified. But we can grow in the assurance that we are justified in Christ. We can grow in the joy and peace of assurance. That admits an increase and growth. Grow in grace. That's what it means. But we're not only called to grow in grace, we're also called to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can grow in our knowledge of Him, in His person and natures, His offices and work, in His humiliation and exaltation. In fact, since all the truths of the Bible are part of the knowledge of Christ, growing in any truth of the Bible is growing in the knowledge of Christ. For instance, if we grow in our knowledge of God, we thereby grow in the knowledge of Christ, because He is God. So we grow in our knowledge of Christ. If we grow in our knowledge of man, we also grow in the knowledge of Christ because of the incarnation, that God in Christ became man, and because of the reason for the incarnation, that God in Christ became man to save sinners. See? That's growing in the knowledge of Christ. If we speak about salvation, then we're talking about the salvation which Christ merited for us, which He gives us by His Holy Spirit. If we talk about the church, we say it's Christ's church, which He loved and bought and cleanses. And He's the head of it. And if we talk about the last things, we're growing in the knowledge of Christ because He is the end. He brings all things to perfection, and He ends all things. The last things is about the coming of Christ Himself. We ought to say that in that we know God's revelation by faith, and the various parts of that revelation, in knowing that, we know Christ Himself. We know Christ Himself. And knowledge of Christ is a certain knowledge of Christ. It's an assured confidence in Him, our Lord and Savior, because it's the knowledge of faith. Faith is a certain knowledge and assured confidence. So we know Christ, we know who He is, what He does, and we trust in Him. We lean upon Him with confidence that He's our Savior because He bought us with His own blood. Now in this knowledge of Christ and grace, we are called to grow. And there are many biblical words similar to grow. They speak of augmentation, addition, progression, development. For instance, we're called to increase in various graces. We're called to put on Christ and put on humility and put on kindness and so on, Colossians 3. We're called to press on, especially Philippians 3. Now, growth differs from all the other addition words in that growth is organic. And by this I mean, first of all, that growth presupposes life. For instance, you can add to a pile of topsoil. You can increase it, make it bigger. But only something which is living can grow, whether it's a plant or an animal. So it is that God does not command unbelievers to grow. The unbeliever is dead in trespasses and sin, and of course need life to grow. Instead, God commands only believers to grow, because only believers have life. And without life, you can't grow. And the believer receives this spiritual life in regeneration or the new birth. In regeneration, God infuses into the elect child of God the spiritual power of grace. And God also, and thereby, gives us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we have this grace And this knowledge in seed form given to us in regeneration. Then the Word of God comes to us as regenerated people to grow in this grace, the knowledge of Christ, which I have already planted in you by my Holy Spirit. This grace then involves increase. We increase in faith, hope, love, goodness, truthfulness, and so on. We increase in knowledge and confidence in the Lord Jesus. This is what's called in our Heidelberg Catechism the more and more. We're to increase in something more and more. That phrase is often found, say, in the Heidelberg Catechism. This growth is also what we might call a proportional increase. No one has ever seen a 6-month-old tree with a 40-foot branch. No one has ever seen a baby with adult-sized 10 shoes. All living things, whether they're plants or animals or people, grow proportionately. And you think of a baby, his hands and arms and legs and feet and a torso and a head, and they all grow at the same rate. You don't get a year-old baby with a head that would be about the right size for a 4-year-old baby. They grow proportionately. They grow together. This is the way it is in the spiritual life of the child of God too. For instance, you don't have a new convert who possesses the steadfastness and stability of an aged saint. It's impossible. Just as abnormal as it would be to see a child with the sort of feet that I described earlier. You don't have either a person with an extremely strong hope and yet with very little humility. It doesn't work like that. Instead, faith, hope, love, all the other graces grow together and proportionately. That's the way it is with the people of God. So we ask ourselves, are we increasing? Are we increasing in all these things? And we ask ourselves, too, are we increasing proportionately, growing more and more in the graces which God already gave us in regeneration? So that we're conforming Christ our head in not just one or two little areas, but in the whole of our Christian lives. That's the idea, because the word growth is used. When you say, well, I find it hard to say whether I'm growing or not, because sometimes we even think of it in those terms. Perhaps this will help. Ordinarily, in the plant and animal world, growth is relatively slow. It takes months and years, ordinarily, for most life forms to grow. Since it's slow, it's often imperceptible. Has your child grown in the last day or the last week? You can't really answer that. It takes more time. And that's the way it is, too, with the believer. Have you grown over a longer period, like 6 months, then you can work out, or a year, or 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years? Then you can compare, because the growth is often slow. And then you can look back, reflect on ourselves, and say, yes, yes, I have, or I've been growing pretty well, but then there's a period there, maybe going backwards, or staying still. But you can assess growth better if you consider larger time frames. We ought also to add that growth ordinarily is quickest at the start. That's the way it is with plants, the way it is with animals, referred to children, the way it is usually with children. A child is 3 or 4 months old, he can double his size in a relatively short period of time, but if you're a 16-year-old boy, he's not going to double his size. So growth is, in general, most in the early days. That's the way it is too with Christians. There's still growth with an older believer, but it's a bit harder to detect because it's usually slower than a person who's more newly converted. Because the more newly converted person, as it were, has more catching up to do. And it's easier to increase if you're relatively weak at something. And if you think too of a tree, because the Bible gives us this idea with the word of growth, there are various ways in which a tree grows. But your tree may not even grow much taller But it could be growing in its roots. It could be growing in its roots, go deeper or wider. So you have a wider, stronger base. So the Christian can become more stable and steadfast. You look at a tree, the main trunk, you don't really realize that it's growing, but every year it's getting a little bit thicker. That's the way it goes. So the believer gets stronger. You can grow too, and if there's more foliage and more fruit. These are various ways in which we can perceive growth. Now, this command, you will have noticed, is general, not just to say office bearers or old people or young people, it's general, addressed to all Christians in all ages. This makes it clear that no one in the Christian life, least of all us individually, no one in the Christian life ever arrives. The Christian can never reach a point where he can spiritually, as it were, sit back and relax. He can't say, well, I've been a Christian for many years now, and I don't really need to grow. I've been a member of a Reformed church now for some time, and so I sort of attain. I can take it easy. He can never say, when I was younger, I read a lot of books, was very, very diligent, and I reckon that'll stand me in good stead for years to come, and so I can ease up a bit. You may as well say, well, I had a good dinner 3 weeks ago, and I probably don't need, therefore, to eat today. It doesn't work like that with growth. And you mustn't be fooled into thinking that, because you can become deceived. This command, grow in grace, is a command to every individual Christian, no matter how strong or weak he may be, or how strong or weak he may think he is. And if a person thinks, for instance, that he doesn't really need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, then he has probably already stopped growing and is backsliding. You can't think you've ever arrived. This is true because it is impossible to reach the summit in this life. The goal, according to Ephesians 4, verse 15, for Christian growth, is to grow up into Jesus Christ, the head. That's the goal. It's not to be a sensible, stable church member merely. It's not to avoid all the big pitfalls you used to fall into when you were a younger Christian. The goal is much higher, conformity to Christ. If that's the goal, then you say, I need to grow. If that's the goal, and you understand it to be such, then you can't become complacent. Because there's a long, long way to go. And it's even impossible to reach that goal in this life. This being the case too, that everybody is called to grow in grace, and nobody is accepted. This being the case, there is no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. Utterly impossible. Because if you were sinfully perfect, sinlessly perfect, how did you ever grow? Perfectionism teaches a radical, instantaneous perfection. At one point, you're going along at this level in the Christian life, and then you lay all on the altar, or whatever nice phases you want to come, and then you lay all on the altar, and then you're way up here, and you stay up there. That's perfectionism. Well, the Bible speaks about growth. And growth, if it is anything, is slow and steady, progressive. Going along at this level and then up to here, that's not growth. Growth is organic, progressive, developmental. We see that in the natural world, all around us, every day. There are, of course, means of growth. There are means of growth, even if you think of the life of plants and animals. How does a plant or an animal grow? Food and drink. Air. Plants, sunlight. Exercise and rest needed to grow. Certain things slow up growth. For instance, if we say a child or an animal or a plant is infected, contracts some disease or is poisoned in some way, then the growth slows down because the body then has to defend itself against the infection or disease. It's the same thing with the believer with regard to his spiritual growth. There are means of growth. The text itself suggests this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in our Authorized Bible, you'll see that the second instance of in the text is italicized. That is, there is one preposition, in, which governs both grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in Greek, this suggests the idea that the second thing is the means to the first thing. That is, grow in grace by growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll give you another biblical example. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 1. He is the resurrection. That is, he brings back from the dead because he is the life. And he cannot keep life encompassed in death. Because he is the life, he is the resurrection. The second is the means to the first. And this idea of knowledge as being the means of growth is frequent in 2 Peter. The word knowledge is found some 7 times. Verses 2, 3, 5, 6, and 8. By the high instance at the very start of chapter 1. And in chapter 2, verse 20, and chapter 3, verse 18. And amongst those instances of Peter's use of knowledge, he uses knowledge in the sense that it's a means of growth. For instance, chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here's how grace and peace come to us, through the knowledge of God. Now, I can stop right here and say that most churches don't even believe that. That's why they don't teach. They think that growth comes by some supernatural, divine, unscriptural event whereby you're immediately lifted up and entirely sanctified, or God zaps you with his Holy Spirit. That type of thing. Grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. That's how it comes to us. The next verse underscores it again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him. How do you receive it? Through knowledge. Chapter 2, verse 20, similar. It speaks of the wicked who apostatize, but it also mentions the point I'm making now. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're entangled again and overcome, the latter ends worse than the beginning. But the point now is, escaping the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's the means to escape sin and pollution. Grow in grace through growing in the knowledge of Christ. And you have that elsewhere in the Word of God. The word of God and the knowledge of Christ is the means of growth. Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 17, he asked the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's the means of sanctification, God's word, which is truth. Similarly, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The word is agent and means of growth.
Growth comes through the knowledge of Christ in the Scriptures. This brings us to what the Reformed faith calls the means of grace. For the sake of this sermon, we could even speak of the means of growth. That is, this is how you grow. The means of growth. And we ought especially to consider the official means of growth. First of all, preaching of the Word of God. That's the first way to grow, which means right at the start, someone cannot grow if they're living way off on their own and never hearing the Word of God. Can't be done. You need the Word. According to the Scriptures, the Word of God is our food and our drink. And just as food and drink are necessary for the growth of a child, food and drink are necessary for the growth of the believer. We should say, moreover, that the preaching of the word as a means of grace to cause us to grow is most effective when the preaching is expository. That is, when it says, this is the word of God, and this is what this word of God means, and this is how it applies to us. Just explaining, bringing out from the text what God's saying. That's the means that God uses to cause people to grow. If that preaching too is systematic, and we have that, for instance, in our Heidelberg Catechism, the idea there is that a child grows best. You don't have to be a nutritionist to understand this, because I'm certainly not. A child grows best if it gets a complete and well-rounded diet. If you preach the whole counsel of God in systematic form, well, that's going to help people to grow. That's pretty simple. And if the preaching of the gospel is not only systematic, dealing with passages of the Bible in order so that we learn better, and through the various topics as we do in Heidelberg Catechism, but if the preaching of the Word of God is consistent and applied to the people of God primarily, that's the way in which the people of God grow too. For instance, if a church spends half, or actually more than half, of its official Lord's Day sermons preaching to unbelievers, where it gives a potted, simple gospel, so that if someone came in from the street, that would be enough to see them see what was given in that one sermon. That is never going to feed the children of God up to cause them to grow properly. Can't be done. And then too, if we think of the other means of grace, that is the sacraments, and especially now the Lord's Supper, are given for Christian growth. In the sacraments, by faith, we eat and drink Jesus Christ. That's a means of growth, as well as a means of grace. We have in our circles a Bible study on a Wednesday night. And if, as we've been saying, the Christian is called to grow and the Word is the means of growth, then this is a way in which you as a child of God, and I know not everybody can make it, can grow by partaking of the means. When we have catechism classes, we do not merely intend that the children tick the right boxes and fill in the answers. Well, that's good, do that. But we're doing it as a means of growth. They're physical children, and spiritually they're children too, and we want them to grow up in Christ. The idea is that they grow. That's the point of our catechism classes. When I speak about these means in the fellowship here, obviously these means must be used in the right way. You must be consistent and regular in it. If a Christian comes to a church service once every 6 months, or once every 3 months, or once a month, and he says, you know, I don't think I'm growing very much, there must be some problem there. Maybe they're not preaching right. Maybe there's some other problem. Maybe there's another problem in the church. Well, you need to eat regularly and consistently. If you have a horse and you feed him once a week, and you go out to that horse and you say, yeah, that horse is not looking so good. What's wrong with him? I mean, you're not feeding him. How could he be well? And that's the idea with the Christian. You've got to be regularly attending it, so far as you can. And then too, when you're attending the worship service, it isn't enough just to sit down in the chair. You must listen. I mean, that's very simple. You must actually listen. It doesn't do you any good if you fall asleep or staring out the window. You must listen. And as you listen, you must believe it, assuming it now to be in truth the Word of God. And then you must try and remember it and obey it. It doesn't transform your life automatically. I came to church and I sat there. I was there for an hour and a quarter or whatever it takes, and so I must be growing in grace. And then you just blatantly disregard what we're being taught each week. You've got to be there regularly, systematically, hear it, listen to it, believe it, and obey it. That's the way God works with us. It's not a robotic thing where your presence merely means that you will be sanctified. And all these things, too, are not enough either if you neglect your own private devotions. If you don't read the Bible on your own, and if you don't pray on your own, you won't grow properly either. Because part of the preaching, in terms of obeying the preaching, is that you walk in obedience to God's Word by studying the Scriptures, other good books, and praying on your own. The two go together. That's the idea. So when we ask the question, are you growing? It means, am I diligently using the means of grace? Am I availing myself of these things? Or, if I have any opportunity and I don't feel that well, or something else crops up, I just opt out. Or I used to go to those things, and I used to do those things, but all right, enough, I haven't been. Well, if you ask, are you growing? And the person says, well, I'm not eating and I'm not drinking. Then you can't be growing. So the question, are you growing, could be put like this. Are you diligently using the means of grace and experiencing something of the power of the Word of God through that? Do you have some joy in it? Do you drag your heels to come to hear the Word of God? Or do you come with some enthusiasm? That's the sort of indicator that we're talking about. And if you say, well, what are the main problems why people don't grow in grace? Well, that would be another sermon. But at least a couple of things should be mentioned, both of which are actually similar. I referred earlier to 2 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The Word cause you to grow in the same way a little baby needs milk. Well, the previous verse says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And then it says, as newborn babes desire ye the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Point being, that if you're living in malice towards someone, if you're living in guile and trying to deceive people in your work life or people in the church or in your family, if you're living in hypocrisies, trying to be one thing when you're not really, just putting on a front, if you're living in envies and you're jealous of what other people have or can do and you think you can't do, and if you're living in evil speakings, running people down and so on, well, then you can't be growing, because those things take away your appetite for the Word, which is the means of growth. That's very simple too. And the other thing is that ungodly friendships block growth in grace. Growth in grace takes place in a certain environment. A tree grows best in a certain environment, where there's water, yes, and where there's sunshine and there's nutrients in the soil, and where it's not covered with other trees so that it can't get any light. Environment. The environment in which a Christian grows is called the communion of the saints. He's in fellowship with Christ and thereby he's in fellowship with other saints. But if the person instead communes with unbelievers and his friendship with the ungodly, and the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners, 1 Corinthians 15, then you don't grow in that environment. You go backwards, you shrink, if that's possible. And if you engage in romantic relationships with someone who isn't one with you in the faith, maybe isn't even a believer, that makes it even worse. You can't grow in that. Even if you're going to church every week, you won't grow. Because these things prohibit and block the working of the Word of God, because you're walking in darkness. A plant grows in the light. And if you walk in darkness, spiritually, you don't grow. That's the way it is. It has to be that way. Now, I've said at the start that we point out some reasons to motivate us all to grow in grace. First one I ought to notice here is that this word comes from Peter. I think it's important that it's Peter God used here to tell us that we must grow in grace. And Peter, if you think of his life, is a good example of growth. This is how it often goes with all of us. Christ calls him to be a disciple. He's with Christ, and then he's rather public and upfront at times, and says the wrong things, and then once he even denied Christ, although all the other disciples did too, to be fair. And then Christ brings him back to himself and asks him, Peter, do you love me? Because when Peter denied Christ, showed that he didn't love him to the degree which he ought. And then the Spirit comes upon him at the day of Pentecost, and then we see him preaching the gospel and standing up for the truth of God and suffering for it. Though, of course, he made a little backward step in Galatians 2. But on the whole, Peter grew in grace constantly and steadily through his life. And now he says, at the end of his life, as one who's grown in grace through various tribulations, now you grow in grace. That's what the Christian life's all about. We ought to note too that this is the last inspired word that we have from the Apostle Peter. His last inspired word to these people in what we would now call Turkey. He's about to die, and he says that he wants his spiritual children in that part of the world to grow. Keep on growing. That's my last word to you. Grow. And that's the thrust of the whole epistle. And Peter says this too, to the church of all ages, grow. Grow. Keep on growing. And then we ought to consider too the word that comes after our text. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in grace is the way, principally, in which we now glorify Christ. The two aren't totally separate and divided. Grow in grace, and then to Jesus Christ be glory. That's the way we glorify Christ as his children. We grow, and we dishonor Christ when we don't grow. And the passage is very clear that if you don't grow, if there is such a term for it, you shrink. More specifically, growing in grace in verse 18 is opposed to what's going on in verse 17. It's talking about those people who twist the scriptures, especially Paul's scriptures, especially those scriptures which speak about the sovereign grace and long-suffering of God. We could call it Arminianism. And you know these things, beloved, and beware, watch out, lest you are led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. That's what happens in churches left, right, and centre. They stop growing, and then they are led away from their steadfastness, and then they fall under the sway of those who twist the scriptures, don't know what the Bible teaches, and teach them free will, and fall away. That's what happens in instituted and old churches. And the way of stopping that falling away is to keep on growing in grace. And when a church does that, it doesn't apostatize into false doctrine. But, on the other hand, when members stop growing and start going backwards, even if they're true believers, then apostasy to varying degrees begins to set in. And this word, I remind you, was addressed to believers in Turkey who were in churches. The idea being that every believer in the church, according to the command of Christ, ought to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And so the church, then, ought to be a community of growers. Everybody in the church ought to be growing in the grace of God through the knowledge of God. That's the way it is in a healthy church. And that's the way it should be, too, with our children. All growing. And if you have a church, it may seem almost utopian, but you have a church in which people are all growing through the knowledge of Christ, they're growing in grace, what a wonderful place to be. Because there won't be any sinful backbiting or false doctrines or divisions. But that's the way it's supposed to be in the Word of God, and we must model that. And this, too, is the purpose, according to Ephesians 4, of the office of pastor-teacher. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16 says that the ascended Christ has given pastors and teachers to equip the saints that they might grow. So if you don't grow, then my office is void. Nothing good comes of it. May as well not even employ a minister. May as well not be a church. The whole point is growth. That's why church officers are given to the congregation. And this means, too, that in our circumstances, we have no excuses. The means are at your disposal. You don't have to run a marathon. You don't have to fly off to China. You don't have to go to Toronto to receive the second blessing. You have it here, now, in the Word of God, as it's preached, and in a few months' time, God willing, in the Lord's Supper. You have the means. There's no excuse. No excuse. And in the two we are called, each one to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, and this is a command of God, then every last one of us is accountable. You are accountable, not to me, but to Christ himself, for your growth of grace, or your lack of it, or your not growing in grace. Because God told you to do it. The means are there, and you'll be held accountable. We ought also to know, this in closing, that growing in grace is the way of being healthy and blessed and useful in the kingdom of heaven, and is the way of pleasing God our Father, who sent his Son to die for us, that we may grow up into him in all things. Amen.